This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What metal prices can tell us about the global economy? From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. Commodities are pushing global markets up today, especially oil and metals. Oil prices are slightly down from yesterday after hitting a 2.5-year high, but are still being boosted a bit due to concerns a pipeline attack in Libya might limit supply. Brent crude is trading at about $66 a barrel now. And prices for metals like aluminum, copper, zinc, and tin are up as well. For more on what's behind the metals rally, I'm joined now by Joe Doe. He's a metal and mining reporter for Bloomberg. Good morning.
Morning.
So what's driving the surge in metals prices that we've seen this week?
Right now, it seems like it's a supply issue. The largest producer of copper in China has just announced that it's been ordered to stop output for at least a week before further assessment on local pollution levels. And so this latest announcement, especially being China's largest producer, is a big deal to the market. China is the biggest consumer of copper. So those two hand in hand definitely have a significant effect on something like, you know, the entire copper market.
So let's keep talking about copper. Some people say it's a shorthand for global growth. Why is that?
You know, it really does remain that shorthand, as you said, you know, the Dr. Copper, because it's used in everything from wiring within homes, you know, all the way to wiring within cars. It's all over the place. It's oftentimes a leading indicator because, you know, the higher the price of copper goes, it often means that people who are buying the physical actual copper and selling it, you know, are indicating that if we're having larger orders, you know, maybe that does mean there's pretty good growth on the horizon from everything in construction all the way down to iPhone sales.
Speaking of other metals, specifically those used in construction, President Trump says he wants to get into an infrastructure plan in 2018. Is that going to have any kind of effect on the global metals markets?
The prospect that the United States, which is a huge consumer, saying that we're going to use a significant infrastructure package means automatically that that construction flows right into the metal sector. We had seen a big pullback in a lot of the stocks over the course of the year, as it became apparent that infrastructure not only wasn't going to be on the front burner, but might not even happen. But suddenly the discussion of this coming back up, you know, with the tax bill being passed, does mean that a lot of people in the space are paying attention to the metals. So that could be a big deal, but it depends on what they roll out with and, you know, if they actually do come up with something, which was the problem originally.
Joe Doe is a metals and mining reporter for Bloomberg. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
December 31st is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to make your tax-deductible donation to support Marketplace. Your gift not only tells us that you value what we do, it also helps us do more of it and reach more people as well. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps people understand the financial forces that affect their lives so that they can make better decisions. This is your chance to be a partner in our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. For as little as $5 a month, become a Marketplace investor today. Donate online at marketplace.org. And thanks for making a difference.
In less than a week, on January 1st, recreational marijuana sales will be legal in California. Cannabis-related businesses are looking for ways to grab a chunk of an expected $5 billion market, which you might think would be a big opportunity for advertising firms and the media companies that could host cannabis ads. But selling, using, and advertising marijuana is still illegal under federal law, and navigating the maze of regulation isn't easy. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Advertising executive Randall Huft is schmoozing with clients inside a Marriott ballroom near Disneyland.
So we're inside the California Cannabis Business Conference. You've got just about every sector of the industry represented here.
Huft is creative director at the Innovation Agency, an advertising firm that once crafted campaigns for United Airlines and Nestle.
And now we're one of the leading ad agencies in the cannabis sector. It's probably about 80% of our work right now.
This year, he made his first cannabis industry TV commercial. It was for a device that vaporizes cannabis oil from a company called Eureka. But it was tricky, because broadcasters operate under federal licenses, so they're especially cautious about taking ads that could violate federal laws.
So we ended up putting together a commercial that never shows the product and never says what the product is for.
Instead, generic phrases like discover passion and discover joy appear over footage of happy people. In the ad's final seconds, the company's website flashes on screen. Eureka says it spent $12,000 to run the late-night spot for 1 month, but it didn't boost traffic to the website, so they pulled it. An alternative to TV could be online advertising, but Google and Facebook both prohibit marijuana ads, so it could be the old-fashioned print medium that stands to gain the most.
I think it's a budding opportunity, no pun intended.
Jim Ewart is general counsel at the California News Publishers Association, which represents 1,400 dailies and weeklies. When the state's new pot law kicks in next year, so do new state regulations for cannabis ads. They'll be allowed in publications where 7 in 10 readers are over 21.
A lot of newspapers are looking at the regulations to measure to what degree there might be potential liability for running recreational cannabis ads.
Meanwhile, many cannabis entrepreneurs see print ads as costly compared to the number of people who see them. Greg Gamet runs dispensaries in Colorado and a massive grow facility in California.
When we decide to advertise, we really have to look at who's going to see it, what kind of return we're going to get. You really need to make profit off your advertising to even be able to afford to do so at the end of the year.
So Gamet says he spends as little as possible on ads, less than 3% of gross sales. Like many growers and dispensaries, he tries to bypass advertising and build a brand through social media instead, which is cheaper and less regulated. In Los Angeles, I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And all week, we've been checking in on American communities affected by natural disasters this year. Visit Marketplace.org to hear our check-in with a California town ravaged by wildfires, what's ahead for the city of Houston, and our conversation today about the recovery from Hurricane Irma in one Florida city. I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.